special announcement.
New special announcement? Who's this? Okay, this is really, 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 really exciting. Saint Etienne are heading to Australia and New Zealand for the very last time. Following the announcement that their 2025 album, International, is their final studio release, the iconic trio will take their celebrated catalogue on a farewell tour across the region this November and December. The Auckland show is Friday the 20th of November, happening at the Power Station. Oh, do I have to name the hits? Well, I think we're about to hear them. But of course, Only Love Can Break Your Heart, Spring, Nothing Can Stop Us, You're in a Bad Way, He's on the Phone, Wood Cabin. Oh, what a trio. Bob Stanley, Pete Wiggs, and of course, Sarah Cracknell, who joined the group a little bit later as a vocalist. They are incredible. I'm pretty sure we have Jin from the 1 to 4 on Tuesday to blame for how much I love Saint Etienne. I was actually lucky enough to have a chat with Sarah Cracknell, the vocalist from the band, about this farewell tour. So to get you super excited, we're going to have a listen to that interview right now. Gosh, so the last tour, this is crazy, right?
It is crazy. It's something we decided to do. We wanted to go out basically and say goodbye to everybody who've been our amazing loyal fans over the years, over the decades. And we wanted to make this our last album. This album that we had out last year is our last album. And it just seemed polite to go and say goodbye to everyone as much as we can, you know. And so we can come to New Zealand and Australia, which is great. It's so brilliant. We haven't been since like 98, I think. It has been a really long time. It's a really long way.
It is a long way from you. I want to go back. Should we do a bit of a walk down memory lane and talk about how you started as a group?
So we started, well, the boys, they're men. Bob and Pete, can't call them boys, that's ridiculous. So Bob and Pete met, well, they'd known each other all their lives. Parents were friends. They put the band together in 1990 and they had two records out. They had Only Love Can Break Your Heart and then Kiss and Make Up. And then they recruited me to do some singing on a song called Nothing Can Stop Us, which is on the first album. And we just kind of gelled together. We had so many reference points that were the same. We'd led sort of parallel lives as far as sort of music and TV and film and all that was concerned. All grown up around the outskirts of London, and it all just, yeah, everything fell into place, and here we are now 35 years later.
Am I right in thinking that they'd only heard your voice speaking Spanish on a record before bringing you into the fold?
Yeah, you're correct. It's weird. I don't know what made them think I was the girl for the job, but yeah, I was doing some sort of dance records with my friend Douglas and under the name Love Cut DB. Yeah, they only heard the track where I was speaking in Spanish. Someone had sort of written it out phonetically for me because I can't speak Spanish. And they thought, that's it. That's the girl for the job. And they came to my flat. I cooked them some lunch, and then I don't know, it's just we just gelled really, really early on. It was really effortless, you know.
And since then the collaborative relationship has grown quite a bit, eh? Like, you're a co-writer on lots of the songs.
Yeah, well, I'd already been in a band and a songwriter in my teens and my early 20s, and so I knew how to write songs, but I didn't want to. I think with Foxbase Alpha, the first St. Etienne album, they were already written, you know, in their minds, they were pre-written. They knew exactly what each song was going to be about, etc. So there was no room for me then. And then on So Tough, I don't think I did any writing, because again, they kind of formulated it all. But then I started very gradually writing. I'm a very non-pushy person as well. I'm a bit shy and will step back. It's the kind of person I am. And so I sort of waited for the opportunity to, you know, come up with some ideas and then present whole songs and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a journey.
Speaking of journeys, what was it like being in the UK with that club scene unfolding in the 90s? Because I'm exposing my age here. I wasn't around for that. But it sounded like so much fun.
Oh, it was brilliant. We used to go out a lot, especially Pete and I. We used to go to lots of clubs in London. Yeah, club culture was amazing. It was all very, I mean, it wasn't new, obviously, but it was very joyous. Clubs were all fun, you know. There were some clubs where people used to dress up, and not that I did particularly, but it was very euphoric and joyous. And for me, you know, I hadn't really been clubbing. I did go to some places earlier on in the 80s, but no, I think the early to mid-90s for me was my clubbing highlight, my clubbing peak.
And I feel like pairing that with the joyous sound of that 60s pop, it just made for such a perfect match.
Yeah, I think that marriage is great. I think what happened, you know, we just, well, Bob and Pete originally, and then once I joined, we realised that you could marry so many different genres of music, etc. together, because of sampling and stuff, it was liberating. So, yeah, it was a really exploratory time. And I think the fact also that we're not musicians, so it's not like we had a guitar, bass, drummer, blah blah blah, you know, so it means that we can just pilfer from other bands, you know, like get people to come and play on our records basically for us. And we worked with Ian Catt, who was amazing. He was like a sort of musical translator. We'd say, oh, we really like this sample, can you recreate that? Or we really like this guitar, can you play it like that? You know, he was amazing.
Well, we all need someone like that in our lives, that can just make it make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what he did. He was literally our translator. He made it all make sense and was so easy to work with. He never seemed to get frustrated by us and our demands. Maybe he was secretly deep down, but he definitely didn't appear to be.
You've spanned a lot of genres over the years, right? You've gone in and out of all sorts of different pockets. Has it been fun to challenge yourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also means that we can make every album sound different. For instance, when we did Sound of Water in Berlin, and we went and teamed up with a group called Turococo Rock, and they were a very electronic band, and we just wanted to soak up that atmosphere and their sound. So yeah, it's meant that we can be really maverick and just do whatever we like. And I think also the fact that we've not been on major record labels, we've always been on sort of indie labels, we've always had total control, I would say, and we only make records if and when we feel like doing it. And that sounds really arrogant, but if we think we've got a new great idea to explore, that's when we'll go and make a record.
It sounds like when you appreciate music as much as you all do, and you hear so many different things that you're picking up and going, oh, let's work with that, you can't really be tied to a label, right?
No, exactly. They would never have it. They would not tolerate it.
Oh, well, good on you for staying independent. I feel like it's easy to sell out these days, right?
Yeah, and I think especially then, back in the 90s, they were very much, you know, they'd dangle money and stuff and in front of you, and you just, it's cursed money.
Yeah, definitely. So cursed. This farewell tour, how are you feeling about it? I can imagine there's so many emotions, you know, that it'd be bittersweet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is bittersweet. I'm loving the fact that we're going out without a particular album to support, because normally, you know, we go out on tour when we've got an album to put out there. So the fact we're just doing everyone's favourite songs, really, including our own, is really good fun. But yeah, I don't know how I'm going to feel at the end. Basically, we're doing, as like I said to you earlier, as many places as we can to say farewell. We've got a tour in the UK in September. Yeah, I don't know. At the end of that, I might feel quite emotional. But then I know we've got stuff coming up, like coming over to see you guys. And various other bits and pieces. But yeah, the final show, I might be in bits. It's quite possible.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing a bit of a hits tour, going back through all those big songs for you guys and big moments of victory, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably living it all every night on stage.
Definitely, yeah. Just remembering back to where they were recorded and what, you know, when it was and how we were as a band at that point in time. Definitely. It's definitely going to be a bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I'm quite a crybaby. But Pete's even worse. Pete's the biggest crier in the band.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's terrible.
I wouldn't have picked him as that.
No, he's a big crybaby. Bless him.
So I can imagine you've had some pretty chaotic times on the road touring. Is there like one story that you can particularly remember?
It's difficult to remember any of it, to be perfectly honest. It's like, I'm sort of Keith Richards of the band. I can't remember anything. It's not because I was particularly hedonistic. It's because I've got a really terrible memory. What happened? Well, we nearly had a bus crash. We were on a sleeper bus coming back from France, and we were coming into Calais, which is the port, to get the ferry. And I was actually in a bunk with my eldest child as a baby. And suddenly the bus went onto the far right, all the wheels on the right, and all the wheels on the left left the ground. And then the bus driver was obviously just trying to right it, so pulling the steering wheel from one another. I was on the bottom bunk, luckily. Everyone on the top bunk was falling out. All our everything in the sort of kitchen area was all over the place. It was absolutely terrifying. So yeah, I remember that.
I mean, as a mum, do your kids think you're like awesome?
I've spoken to them about it actually recently. They're 21 and 23 now, so
yeah.
I sort of said, was it embarrassing having me? And they said no, but well, it was a bit sometimes. They said at primary school, they had this thing in the morning where it's called wake up, shake up, where they'd all get into the school hall and they'd all jump around and follow the teacher. And one day the teacher put He's on the Phone on, and both the boys were just mortified, absolutely mortified.
But it's such a good track. Like, if I woke up to that in the morning, I think it'd have been a pretty great day. I mean, looking back, what a legacy, eh?
That's my feeling about wanting to stop now. I don't want to sully the legacy. There's nothing I'm ashamed of that we've done. Ultimately, I'm just so proud of everything we've done, and I just want to leave it on a high and just walk away.
I am so excited for that show. Oh my gosh. You can grab your tickets from Ticketmaster to St. Etienne's Farewell Tour of New Zealand and Australia. They're playing Friday the 20th of November at the Power Station. Thank you to Sarah Cracknell for sitting down with me and having such a lovely chat about all the things they got up to.